these stars of the game. I'm over here in the Angels locker room, and I ran across my hero, Spark Plug. Spark Plug, Adam Eaton.
Yes, sir.
Back in the shot.
Yeah, it's good to be back. Yeah, we've had some fond memories as players. Now back as a coach and coach to coach now. You know, used to be a big league player to coach, and now it's coach to coach. So I'm excited for this interview. It's going to be a different layer.
Don't you be trying to take my title now. I'm still coach.
No, for sure. Hey, the coach. I'm just a coach.
Okay. So now you're back in town as a coach with the Angels. And then how did that come about for you?
Yeah, you know, I was blessed to play with Kurt Suzuki across the way in Minnesota for I think the 3 years that I was here at first sent, and then was able to play with him with the Nationals, won a World Series with him. So, you know, competing against him and then playing in the same clubhouse with him, I get an odd thing for catchers. Like, I always have a great appreciation for catchers. They're usually the most knowledgeable guys in the field. They deal with the coaching staff, the pitching staff, the players, positioning, you know, throwing down fingers and trying to, you know, put everyone in the best position possible. They work really hard. They're usually the first ones here dealing with everybody. And that's why, you know, Kurt's doing such a good job as a manager. So when he got the job with the Angels, so he gave me a call, and it was kind of an easy decision for me. You know, a guy that I really respected in general, and then you know, had a lot of talks, baseball talks when we played, and I'll go 162 gauntlet with you, and continue to learn from him, and continue to learn from the guys that are in this room, coaching staff wise. So it's been fun.
Well, I know being a player and making that transition to a coach, that got to be different day and night.
Yeah, it is. It definitely is. You know, as a player, you're kind of in your own little bubble. You're an individual, but you're part of the team. You know, spring training was a rude awakening for me, because in spring training, traditionally, you're getting yourself ready. You know, your morning is more or less just getting yourself ready for the game. You get a checklist in spring training, you get a very good understanding of what you have to do in order to be successful for the year, and just getting your body ready, getting your mind ready. The schedule is way different. You know, you play your 3, 4, 5 innings at the begin, and then you get to your 7-inning games, and you get to go home afterwards. Or as a coach, you're worried about a bazillion people. You know, you got your minor league outfielders, you got all your base runners in the organization, you have different schedules and different things that you have to manufacture in order to get a lot of guys ready, as well as the days are long. You know, you're the first ones there and you're the last ones to leave. So and then it's no different now. You know, you're here a lot earlier than you usually are. It doesn't take a physical toll on you, but definitely a mental toll. You have to be prepared for, you know, pitchers and defensive related things and offensive related things, and you know, being in meetings, as a player, you're never in a coach's meeting, you know, discussing players and front office things, but it's definitely a different layer. But nonetheless, it's interesting to me, because you always knew those things transpired, but you just didn't ever focus on it because you're so worried about yourself. But the layer is it's been very, very interesting, but enjoyable nonetheless.
I bet you didn't know all the inner workings go on.
No, not at all. You really don't. Yeah, exactly right. You understand that they have conversations, that you understand that they make decisions, moving parts. You know, guys are moving up and down, left and right, and reasons why they do some certain things. But then, being in the room with those talks and how they weigh certain things out, how they make those decisions, very intriguing, especially in this day and age, analytics, contracts. There's just so much that goes into it, reasons that guys make certain decisions, but also on-field stuff. You know, I'm no longer in control. You no longer really have that player voice, but more of a coach's voice. Going from a player's voice to a coach's voice is a very interesting one. You know, as a player, you've kind of earned that trust through your play, but as a coach, you kind of have to develop that trust and respect. And it's a slow-moving process to gain, you know, young players as a coach's respect, but that's been kind of my main focus, is to try to gain these guys respect and trust, and then, you know, give them a little tidbits to hold for them to hopefully get better and move forward and continue to progress their career. And that's just my main objective, is just that I want all these guys to get better this year and make as much money as they can, enjoy as much money as they can, and win as many games for the team as they can. And if I can gain their trust and make them a little bit better, week by week, month by month, I think we've done our job.
All right, last two questions. I mean, we first start coaching and coming to this locker room? Was that urging you to get that glove and go back out on the field as a player?
You know what's funny is my body says absolutely not. My mind a little bit. I would be lying to you if I said no. Baseball's fun. And when you're playing at this level, it's not all that much fun because you're just so focused. You're so funneled every single day. You don't really have a chance to kind of look around and enjoy it as much as you. Now looking back, I wish I would have. You're just so worried about losing your job. You're worried about, preparing and performing every single day. And now as a coach coming back in the room, you kind of have a little wider view of things. And from time to time, I'm like, man, I wish I could go out there and play a nine-inning game. But I tell you right now, the first time I give you a hard 90 down first base, my body, I don't think, would really appreciate it. So as much as my mind is there, I don't think my body would follow.
Coach, we got a lot of memories in Chicago.
Yes, sir.
Your thoughts about being back in Chicago?
Yeah, I know. It's always good seeing a familiar face. It's being young and going through my maturing years here and having media like yourself, be able to put it on camera every single day, it's very cool to come back here. Like I said, security guards, front office, you name it, people that had really kind of seen me, grow up, so to speak, here in Chicago. Special place, warm place in my heart that I'll always be in debt to. You guys putting up with me and seeing my years throughout here. But it's always fun to come back. It's changed a lot, but a lot of things haven't changed too. So the change is weird to me, but the guys that are still here, is like I said, it warms my heart. It's always good to come back.
You reached the ultimate pinnacle of the game.
Yes, sir.
You went to the Nationals and got a World Series championship ring.
Yes, sir. Oh man!
Did you cry? I just want to know.
I didn't cry, but I'll tell you that. What's funny is you're right. The pinnacle is a really good word for that, because as a kid, you always dream of that, but you really never think that that ever happened. And I remember, when I raised the trophy up on the stage, for me, it was a culmination of my entire life's work in one singular moment of raising the trophy. Again, as a kid, you always dream about it. You never really think it's going to happen. And then all of a sudden, you're in that situation. And I'm like, man, I'm going to win a World Series. This kid from the cornfields of Ohio that worked hard and got to where it is, and I've been in a group of guys so special that I was able to be with from day in and day out, and then raise the trophy. Is I felt like I was a child again. I was a kid in the backyard, and it's just like it was so surreal. And now that I've had time to kind of grow away from it, I think it's getting sweeter. At the time, you kind of refocus in on the next year and try to get reacclimated. We got to do it again type deal. Again, that funnel mentality that we touched upon. But now that I've been out of it and getting a little bit older, you realize that that doesn't happen every day. And you realize that that's always strapped to you as a player and as a person for the rest of your life. That is just so incredibly special. But World Series ring, the trophy aside, the grind aside, just the players too. You have such a bond with those guys for the rest of your life. We did a five-year anniversary and get back like we never left. And I can't wait for the 10-year anniversary, and whatever anniversary they want me to come to, I'm coming, because, I got a job at it with Kurt. So it's like, it's a blessing. It's a very true blessing that, like I said, very surreal and something I thought I'd never be able to do, but was able to do with a really, really good group of guys.
All right, let me conclude this show with, let me get here. Let me get here, my hero. Here we go.
It's always good, Coach.
The two of us back together again.
I love it.
There you go. Coach. Yes. I'm officially proud of your coach now.
Coach and a coach.
I got you.
Thank you, sir. Yes, sir.
You're my hero.
Right back at you.